96 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you. Landon Schmidt producing. We're Sports Time. We're with you for the next 3 hours. A lot going on right now on a Wednesday afternoon as we've got some Major League Baseball action. The Combine is still going as coverage on ESPN2 as they're doing the scrimmages, but a lot of players talking today, a lot of quotes out of Chicago, and we're starting to learn what players have worked out or planning to work out with the Memphis Grizzlies. So starting to get a little clarity on different things regarding the Combine. We got a lot more baseball tonight. We had the NBA playoffs last night, another game tonight. So a lot to get to. NFL scheduling continues to roll out before the official announcement tomorrow night. So a lot to discuss over these next 3 hours. But Brett, how are you today?
Brian, I'm doing well, and tomorrow night, after promising for weeks now that I had us covered, I got dinner plans. Not going to be watching any of the.
How about that?
No, I'm kidding. I got it covered. Well, I got it covered. Well. I got it covered. I'm not going out tomorrow night. I'm going to watch the big reveal.
Good for you. I will not be watching. I don't know what I'll be doing tomorrow night, but it will not be watching.
I'm going to live text it to you every second
please,
of it.
Please do. And please not be offended if I don't get back to you right away.
Oh, I won't be. You can't offend me.
No, but we are getting more news about it before that official announcement, and it is official that we're getting a Thanksgiving Eve game the Wednesday before Thanksgiving Day. The Rams and the Packers on
That's Netflix. Usually a slow football night. Mm-hmm. It's very busy with Feast Week, and it'll, of course, be a ratings juggernaut, and that means the NFL is going to run that week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, that's right. So it'll be a lot of NFL that week, a lot of football, which will be fun. And, you know, we always talk about it when the NFL's on, no matter they could play at 2 o'clock in the morning, and there would be people
really
watching the show.
From anywhere.
Yes.
From Dubai.
That's right. So, you know, and they're going to Australia this year, one of the early games of the season in Australia. So they really are going all over the world, and we're starting to get a lot of those matchups announced. And obviously tomorrow night we'll have the full schedules in front of us.
We will have it in front of us today at the ACC meetings. Jim Phillips, PhD. Let's make sure we get his title right. Jim Phillips, PhD, unanimous that therefore the 24 team wasn't a dissenting vote, unanimous. Every single institution represented for the 24, and now that leaves the SEC on an island, I mean all alone, deserted island. It's just Greg Sankey and the SEC that's not for 24. He's not for 24. Most of his coaches are. And, you know, I don't know how the vote goes down, and I don't know if it will go down in Destin in a week and a half, 2 weeks. But is it ADs at their coaches' best? You know, it's a little bit like the whole, you know, representing in Congress. Do you go and vote your heart, or do you vote strictly your district or your state's wishes and heart? Surest way to be a one-termer is to just do your thing.
No,
you are the representative of them, just as the coaches, the football coaches on the ground, they're going to lobby that AD of, look, this is what I and we want and expect. I don't know, even if it's at the president's level, I don't know how they can stray too far from what their coaches want. And I would bet you right now, I do not know an exact number, but I would bet you it's 12, 13 plus minimum in favor of 24.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to kind of
I can't imagine a justification to be not far 24.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting once we get to Destin and kind of hear what type of quotes we get, you know, from everybody down there, because it's going to be the biggest question asked. It's going to be what all the media down there and what everybody wants answers to. You know, there are other things that people want answers to, but right now the big topic is playoff expansion, and so I'm definitely looking forward to. Do we get anything? Do we hear much of one way or the other? Do they try to keep that behind closed doors? I'm going to be really interested to see, you know, if and what we hear from Destin.
At some point, Sankey's got to understand and admit, I'm not changing. I'm not changing anybody's mind. I'm not changing my coach's minds, and I'm sure not changing other leagues' minds. Mm-hmm. And we know it's a pitch battle at the network level because ESPN, I know they have the contract and everything for the current 12 team. Mm-hmm. I think it's written in that they keep it for 14 or 16 even. Might have to check on – I might have to get more information on 16, but I'm pretty sure on – I know 12 that we exist under, and I know 14. Maybe some variable to 16. Well, it sure is at 24. Mm-hmm. It opens it all up. I mean, yeah. It opens it up to the streamers and to Fox and to NBC and to XYZ and everybody else. And then ESPN, you know, they still could bid. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a lot more money, yep, and a lot more carriage. Where do you put them? How do you, mm-hmm, place them? And I am far 24. What I think will happen is we will move. Everybody will start where week zero is now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that leaves somebody to still have week zero, and that be the week before, mm-hmm, a few games. It very well could, and that would be a really early start, sure, to college football. It could, but if you want two open dates, and they do, everybody start where the Tigers are playing Vegas this year. That's where everybody would start next year. Still have rivalries over Thanksgiving, and where the championship games are now, that would be the first week of the playoffs, and it's complicated, but this is what it would be. It would be 20, and they would be on campus. I don't see any way that wouldn't be, and no merging in other bowls, but that would be 24 at 9, 23 at 10, 22 at 11, and so forth, all the way down to 17 at 16. That would be that first weekend where conference championship games have mostly been played. I'm going to use the date December 5th. The next weekend, here's the one of the big factors, and it impacts here locally with the Liberty Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I say it with no glee, it would be really a tough existence for them if you go into the next weekend. Maybe a compromise the next weekend would be, let's say if it went according to form, around December 12th, and that would be 16 at 8 or in a bowl game, 15 against 7, 14 against 6, 13 against 5, and so forth, all the way down to 9 at 1. If you did that, maybe say the top four, seeds 1, 2, 3, and 4, they get it on campus, and 5, 6, 7, and 8, you get merged in to existing bowls. But how would the Liberty Bowl stack up with the now capacity of Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium going down? How's it going to stack up against Texas Bowl at the home of the Houston Texans? It's hosted Super Bowls. How's it going to stack up against the new dome fixed roof in Jacksonville that's Gator Bowl, the new Music City Bowl, or the new dome in Nashville? Vegas, I mean, that's three or four already I've named. Citrus and that weather. Alamo and an aging Alamo Dome, I understand. But how are they going to stack up against those? I just see a lot of those bowls either going way before Christmas is basically programming or out.
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's certainly a lot of unknown, but, you know, it feels like it would have to be something like that. If they do expand to 24, you know, obviously we've talked about the NCAA even coming out and saying that they want the football season to start a week earlier where week zero is right now, so it feels like, you know, you're moving in that direction, and obviously all the other talk about eliminating the conference championship, it feels like what you have just set up, it feels like they're trying to start to build the framework so that it would be as seamless as possible to kind of go in that direction.
I may do me a bracket for sometime this summer of what it would look like for this year if we had it.
Okay, that would be something. Yeah. I'd be interested to see what that looks like. But
And on the date, on the moving up, yes, it would open up conference championship games if they were eliminated, but I use that date December 5th for those. Then the next weekend, December 12th, whether it's a existing bowl or all on campus or a little bit of both, well, then they want the quarterfinals, 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, like we have now. They want that around January 1, mm-hmm, for the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. The Rose Bowl is intractable. They're not moving off. getting them to move to 3:30 Central Time was an act of Congress, practically. Mm-hmm. That's going to stay around New Year's Eve and the 1st. Well, then the next week, the 8th or 9th or 10th, that would be semis. And at the earliest, the 17th or so, we're not going to get any earlier for the conclusion. No. We're just going to get earlier for the start of bracket season.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's going to be there's not a ton of clarity once you get to the 24. There's a lot of unknown. There's a lot of questions of how you make it work and what does it look like. They've got to get to the table, and I think they need to get to a decision so that they can get to this point and start trying to figure out what it looks like in the future.
And for a lot of bowls, Pop-Tarts Bowl, New Orleans Bowl, the Rate Bowl. Can you tell me where the Rate Bowl is played?
That one's in Detroit, isn't it?
No, Detroit's out. No, Rate Bowl is at Phoenix.
Okay, interesting.
That's going to be, just ESPN afternoon programming in December.
Yeah.
Well, it's what it is now.
No, it is, and it gets great ratings, so it's not going anywhere. They're gonna keep some sort of bowl season alive and have those gains for middle of the afternoon to have two teams that nobody has ever watched all season.
The Liberty Bowl could go back to its old date when it first moved to Memphis around – the 13th or 14th or 15th of December.
Yeah, no, it could. It's a lot of unknown where the future of college football is heading, but they need to figure it out of what they're going to move to, whether it's 16 or 24, and at least get that so that they can start kind of forming what the future of college football looks like, because you can't really plan for anything unless you know what the future of the playoffs is going to look like.
I don't think we get the finality out of Destin.
No, definitely
at least
definitely.
By media days in late July, and it is a little bit later this year, you have to have it because, again, December 1, they've got to give it to TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So, either stay at 12 or go to whatever.
Yeah, so they've got to start moving. They've got to start figuring things out, and like you said, it feels like a lot of people are on the 24 framework instead of the 16, but we'll see. And again, in Destin, we'll be really, really curious to see what we hear out of the SEC, different people out of the SEC. But over in the NBA last night, Spurs got the win. They go up in that series against Minnesota. Definitely good for them. Not so great for Minnesota. Wimby returns. He looked awesome. But the other news had to do with the 76ers after they were eliminated. Daryl Morey is out for the 76ers, but Nick Nurse will return as the head coach for the 76ers.
Yeah, I don't think Daryl Morey is finished in the NBA. He's got an accomplished record, but it didn't work. It hadn't worked in the last couple stops for him.
No, and it felt like he had ran his course in Philadelphia, and it was time for a change. We've talked about it for the last couple weeks of kind of the 76ers team and where do they go, this roster construct, and what it looks like and what it has looked like over the last couple of years. It felt like for a while there, every single year, it was that they're the sneaky team out of the East to watch. This is going to be their year. They're going to really make a run in the playoffs, and they just could never get it done. And so, you make the change there. You keep Nick Nurse, and we'll see what his future looks like, and maybe with some new leadership in there, if they can start turning things around. Obviously, being in the playoffs is nothing to sneeze at. They would love to be there, but they want to go further. They want to advance, especially when you got a guy like Joel Embiid, some of those other guys they have on the team. You want to advance, and they just haven't done that. So maybe this is the change. Maybe it's not. And then next thing you'll see is the change at the head coach position.
May I ask a couple people this question before the day's over? I'm gonna ask you first. What's the future for Joel Embiid? Is it in Philly? Is it change of location?
That's a good question. I think I would hope it's staying in Philly. I think he likes being there. I like kind of the fit there. He's an incredible player, and so I hope it's still there. I don't really want to see him move anywhere else. I kind of like his fit in Philly with the 76ers.
Boy, and this is the time of year you have to have him. The games have really been called different than all year. Mm-hmm. That's playoff basketball. Yep. And last night, that was a statement by young Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, you just knew it was going to happen. Seeing obviously the ejection the game before and all the talk, during that game, after the game, of him, and, you know, should that be the only punishment? Should he get some form of suspension? You know, you felt pretty good him coming out in a home game in San Antonio that he would put on a show, and he wasn't slow to it. I mean, those first, what, 6 or 7 minutes of the game, I mean, it was give him the ball and get out of the way and let him do whatever he wants to do.
He played big man. He played around the three. He did it all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long his career is going to be. I hope it's a long one and a great one. And I hope somewhere along the way the Memphis Grizzlies knock him and the Spurs out of the playoffs during his long, great career. 10, 12, 15 years, whatever it is. I'm going to make you a bet.
Okay.
He never gets kicked out of a playoff game again.
Yeah,
you'll never miss another one because of suspension.
Yeah. No, I think you're
might get hurt.
You're right about that. Sure, you know, injury or something like that. But yeah,
but that was the one time they got to him.
I think so. I think they were trying to get to him again last night.
They were.
You saw multiple times throughout the night they were trying to get under his skin and see if he would show some frustration. And he never bit and was really, really good in that game last night. 27 points, 17 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks for the Frenchman, and was really, really special. Now the Spurs go up and in a really good spot. Obviously, 2 games remaining. Just got to win one of them, and I think they'll get it done. And we'll get a treat of a series between OKC and San Antonio.
We will. Could see that a lot over the next few years, over the next couple of May's. Brian, I know you're getting ready to set up the show, and we're going to get to Top and Not. But I told Landon, I have really wrestled with it, and I know I have basically still about an hour, but I think I'm still going to take Scottie Scheffler first.
Okay, all
right. I've really wrestled with it.
Okay.
I mean, just tossed and turned all night over it.
Understandable.
But, him and Hard all day, but I think I'm going to stay with Scottie Scheffler.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I've kind of been going
just
along
an alert
all week.
For you guys.
Yes, I've been going along all week with the assumption that you will take Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah,
so
I never
want
to put myself first. I want to give y'all fair warning.
I appreciate that. So yes, you got about 40 minutes, you know, and I guess more than that, about 50 minutes before we start making those picks. So I think you're locked in, but we'll see if maybe you get. Last week I got a little. I got a little nervous when we started making picks. I wasn't prepared. You know, that was the day I had to get new tires on my truck, and so I wasn't really ready for golf picks. And I kind of scrambled and just threw out a name. I don't even remember who
Andrew
it was.
Andrew Putnam,
that's right.
Was the panic name?
That's right, yeah. Well, I just had a list of names, and he was towards the top of course
but
fit.
I may very well do that today. Panic today and take Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, well, that's right. A lot worse players like Andrew Putnam that you could panic and choose than Scottie Scheffler. But we will talk a lot of golf today, but let me set up today's show before we get to Top and Not Top Story of the Day. 3:30, Richard Cross, he's going to join us. We'll talk the PGA Championship with him. He's doing work with ESPN this week. You'll see and hear him a lot over the next couple of days with the PGA Championship. So we'll talk with him about this course, about this tournament, what he expects over the next 4 days. 3:45, we'll talk some baseball. Last night, some really fun baseball being played. Paul Skeens, what he is doing this season after struggling in the game on opening day has been remarkable. Another really nice outing for him last night. We'll talk about that, talk about some other things around Major League Baseball. 4 o'clock, John Goen from Timber Trust. He'll join us. We'll talk more golf with him, more about the PGA Championship, and then we will make our golf picks where Brett may or may not pick Scottie Scheffler with the first pick in our golf picks. 4:30, we'll get into the NBA playoffs, talk more about Victor Wembanyama, the game that he had last night, that win for the Spurs, and then tonight's game, Detroit and Cleveland. 4:45, big number of the day. 5 o'clock, Rob Fisher from the Grizzlies Television Network. He'll join us. We'll talk the NBA, a lot to get to with Rob on a lot of different topics around the NBA. 5:30, we'll talk about what's trending. And at 5:45, we'll wrap up today's show like we always do with Moe's Crunch Time. Let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure Studios, where family and fun come together. Summer is right around the corner, and it's time to get those backyards ready for the ultimate pool party. Above-ground pools starting at $39.99 installed, with in-ground pools starting at $49.99. All in-stock patio furniture is priced to move. 5-piece patio furniture sets starting at just $999. Outdoor sectionals starting at $12.99 with free umbrella and base with select patio furniture sets. Hot tubs, they're starting at $34.99 with swim spas at $16.99 and special financing, it's always available. If you go in and mention this ad, get $200 off any pool or spa purchase. So don't miss any of these fantastic deals. Head out there to Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
We are Sports Time. We're live and local and with you all the way to 6 o'clock today, and we want you to be a part of our show by texting or calling 901-360-8255. That's the Sissy's Log Cabin text and talk line. All our guests will join us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line at 901-360-8255. He's Brian. I'm Brett. Our producer is Landon Schmidt. And we're always live from our Family Leisure studios. And Brian mentioned, you mentioned that ad, and you get that great discount with the great people at Family Leisure. This hour of our show brought to you every day by Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway. And online at lexusofmemphis.com. Great offers on all 2026 models and always special leasing options. Drive in luxury and confidence knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. You can call them at 901-334-9673, but they invite you to stop by the only Lexus dealership in Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway, and that's where you can put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2026 flagship LS500, and you'll be looking and driving in style. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and they make for the safe, luxury driving experience. Online at lexusofmemphis.com. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Top story of the day.
Well, my top story, it is the NBA playoffs last night. The Spurs got the win over Minnesota to regain control of that series and feels pretty clear that the Spurs will win the series and face off against the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference Finals. 126-97, the final score last night after Victor Wembanyama was ejected in the game before he came out red hot, ready to really play one of the games of his life in one of the biggest games of his life. And he was able to lead his Spurs team to a pretty easy victory over the Timberwolves. Now, they only need to win one game out of these next two. Obviously, if they don't get the job done in Minnesota, they'll have the opportunity in Game 7 to win it at home. But I saw somebody put out the Spurs record when they go up 3-2 in a series is just incredible. But when they go down 3-2, it's horrible. So everyone's like, good thing the Spurs won last night. But honestly, I still think if they had lost last night, I would have felt pretty comfortable that they would come back and win the series. But now, back in the driver's seat, and it feels like they will advance to the Western Conference Finals. But tonight, the other series that is going on, Cavaliers and Pistons, we'll see who can get the advantage in this series as it goes back to Detroit. It's been all chalk so far in this series, with Detroit winning the first two games at home, the Cavaliers winning the next two in Cleveland. Now it swings back to Detroit. Will it remain chalk? Will the Pistons get the win and take control of this series? Or can the Cavaliers pull the upset and make this one a lot more interesting? Right now, Detroit a 3.5-point favorite. That game, 7 o'clock on ESPN. We'll see what happens.
My top story, the circumstances and the story around the death and the passing of Brandon Clark are becoming known with every day. Facts are out, but still everybody in town with the Grizzlies, around the NBA, in the sports world, still in shock. One team in his career, and playoffs in 2021 and 2022, 14 total playoff games for Brandon Clark as a member of the Grizzlies. He was on the team that won the last playoff series, the team won against Minnesota in that series 4 years ago, and he was good in that series, and he will be missed. And the stories, and whether it's Mark Gonzaga or Mark Few at Gonzaga, or the stories of his teammates, they really are moving and touching.
They absolutely are. So obviously still super sad news, but the stories that are coming out, you know, it is nice to hear that. Some of the things, I know he was working with a foundation to help youth in reading, and a lot of people have been donating to that, which has been really cool to see. So, you know, definitely a heartbreaking story and heartbreaking news, but I do love to see everyone kind of rallying around the situation.
Not top story of the day.
Well, my not top story of the day, Penny Hardaway. Hardaway has landed himself another player out of the transfer portal. Maxime Logue, who played at Florida Atlantic last year, started his career at Oregon State. From France, he was committed to North Carolina earlier this offseason, but flipped his commitment to the Tigers. Not sure, I've seen some rumors about why he flipped from North Carolina to Memphis, but haven't been able to confirm any of those rumors out there. But it's a guy that North Carolina saw and said, this can be a guy that can help our team. Now he'll be on Memphis's roster. Last year at Florida Atlantic, averaged 4.8 points, 3.1 rebounds in mainly coming off the bench, all 28 appearances off the bench, 11.2 minutes per game. But you look at some of the advanced analytics around him, and it looks like with more playing time, he can make more of an impact. An 18.1 offensive rebounding percentage, which ranks in the 99th percentile. His offensive rebounds per 40 minutes, 6.4. What he can do defensively in the steals and block category, this feels like a guy, don't really know what kind of role he'll play for the Tigers just quite yet, being that 14th player that they've added to next year's roster. But you know, this is a guy that has some upside, 6'9", forward, has some upside and could certainly help add some depth in the front court.
Yeah, just be good. Just be pretty solid. I mean, you don't have to be Keith Lee, but just be good. That's a pretty high bar.
Well, very high bar.
My not top story, that's a good thing. You don't have to be Keith Lee. That's really hard to accomplish. My not top story, 9 international games for the NFL. They're all out. There's going to be a lot of 8:30 Sunday morning games. We're kind of getting used to that, aren't we? Not all, but a lot of them will be at 8:30. Melbourne, Rio, 3 in London. The Steelers and the Saints, we mentioned yesterday with Bo, how come the Steelers haven't been in a game? Well, they are now in Paris, Madrid, Munich, Mexico City. Jacksonville will play in 2 of those London games, both at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and at Wembley. What's next for the NFL? And I ask this seriously. What's next internationally? A Canadian game? A game in China? A game in Japan? A game in Saudi Arabia? What's next? Because they're going to go to every spot on the globe.
Yeah, they've already shown. I mean, they are going to try to go just about anywhere. And so I think a couple of those options you mentioned probably are certainly on the table, and we could see them over the next couple of years. Maybe find their way to one of those countries. But that'll do it for top and not top story of the day. Let's get to our first break, and when we return, we're going to talk the PGA Championship. Richard Cross, he joins us next.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Brighton Brett with you, and we got to talk about the PGA Championship. And joining us now to talk about it, Richard Cross. He'll be on the coverage over the next couple of days with ESPN. He's been out there on site walking the course, so he can tell us what everything is looking like up there. Richard, thanks so much for joining us. What do you expect over the next 4 days at the PGA Championship?
Bryant, I appreciate it very much. Brett, good to be with you guys. I was there Monday, flew up and wanted to get a look at the course. I'm actually calling the action from a studio away from site, but man, I was blown away. Aronimink has that kind of old Northeast golf course feel that you would expect. You know, Philadelphia golf, the history of the game in that city and the courses in that city, with Marion, with Pine Valley, just across the border in New Jersey, with the Cricket Club and, of course, Aronimink. It's spectacular. And it's got that look with kind of the old wide brick clubhouse. And it's a golf course that underwent a pretty significant restoration a little less than a decade ago. It's an old Donald Ross design. And they brought Gil Hanse in, and they wanted to freshen the golf course up, and his vision ended up being let's get this thing back to what Donald Ross intended. It wasn't that the course had undergone neglect, but golf courses, when you talk about, you know, half a century, 60, 70 years, the greens tend to creep in and grow in and get a little smaller over time, and the bunkers get to the point where they need to be reworked. Based on what I saw on Monday, just an absolutely masterful job. The rough is severe. It is thick. It's that thick fescue, and it's got some dampness in it. They're expecting some rain overnight tonight, which may slow the golf course down a little bit. But this is arguably the best field in golf, with players from all over the world. And obviously, you've got the PGA Tour pros that have the opportunity to qualify for it as well. The golf course is pristine. It's going to challenge guys in a lot of places. And you got the best players in the world that are going to put on a show for the next 4 days. We had a big production call with all of the broadcast team from ESPN and from CBS earlier today. And, you know, the closing thought was, hey, we could be in for the best PGA championship ever. And I don't think it's a stretch to think that it could end up that way.
It sure looks like it, Richard. You just perfectly described a classic U.S. Open golf course. Are the PGA trying to do that? I think the landing area is a little wider, but you mentioned rough. And last night on Golf Channel, Gil Hance said the winner is going to come down to greens.
Yeah, and the greens are big, Brett, but they've got a ton of undulation. You've got a couple of greens out there that are right at 10,000 square feet. And so that gives a lot of options for the PGA in terms of setup. The thing that I think sets the PGA Championship apart from the U.S. Open is it doesn't feel generally like the PGA of America is trying to play gotcha. It's not we want to make it the fairway as hard and as fast, the greens as hard and as fast, or I guess I should say firm and fast, and the, you know, just an absolute no doubt one shot penalty if you hit it in the rough. I think the setup is fair. Now, there are some pin positions where they're really, really going to be able to challenge the golfers. 18 is going to be fun to watch. You look at 18 from the tee box, and it's like, okay, this is pretty open. And then you look at the landing area out at about somewhere in that 280 to 320 range, and there is a massive tree on the right side of the fairway. Not like Ike's tree at Augusta. I'm talking massive tree. And some of the golfers over the last couple of days have been talking about, man, it's rare to see a tree that big that is a standalone tree that could play as big a factor, obviously, if you miss it right. But even if you're a little bit shorter hitter and you leave it center or center left, depending on the pin position on 18, you still could have to deal with either trying to get it up and over or trying to go under or cut it or maybe hook it around it, depending on where you are. There's some strategy in this golf course. I would agree the landing areas maybe not generous compared to what they're like at Memphis Country Club or at Ridgeway today or even out at Southwind, but compared to perhaps a U.S. Open at Bethpage or at Shinnecock a month from now, probably a little more generous than you'll see at a U.S. Open course.
Mm-hmm. You talked about the roughs and how nasty they might be this week, and I've heard especially around the bunkers that they are just an absolute monster, and that, you know, we could see a lot of these balls that could potentially end up in the bunkers kind of land in that rough right around those bunkers. So how possible do you think it is that we could see some of these gnarly lines where we've got the weird shot setup where the golfer's standing with both feet in the sand while trying to hit a ball out of the rough?
You know, it's interesting you asked that, Bryant. I watched a bunch of guys on Monday, and to a man, every single one of them. So generally the way they treat these practice rounds, you'll hit one or two tee shots. They might play both balls. I walked with Scotty Scheffler for a while on Monday.
Nice.
On 16, for example, it was par five. He hit two drivers. He pulled one of them left. He was in the rough. He hit a second one. Of course, it was right in the middle of the fairway. That second man's pretty good. And then it was, okay, let me go hit a three wood out of the rough. And it was amazing how the rough kind of grabbed the club face. And then he goes out and hits four iron to 8 feet from the fairway. It's like, well, yeah, that's where I want to be. But the bunkering around 16, especially if they try to tuck the pin back left, you've got a really small landing area and a pretty steep face on that bunker. The point that I was going to make to your question, though, is every player that came through, whether it was that hole or one of the others, after they play the hole, they toss balls down, and they'll chip some, they'll hit some out of the sand, and then they'll putt to what they anticipate different hole locations being. Scotty had to kind of grab himself as he was climbing out of the bunker on 16, kind of stumbled forward, reached down and caught himself, and, you know, kind of bear crawled his way out of the bunker. That tells you a little bit about the severity of it, but it's something they were practicing, and it wasn't just, let me toss balls down into the sand. They had some that kind of hung up in that heavy rough on the top edge or the side edge of the bunker to work on those. I think the golfers anticipate that they're going to get some of those, but they're going to be a lot of sand shots. 174 bunkers on the course at Aronimus.
Wow, that is something. Richard Cross with us. You hear him in Mississippi every day, but this week we will also hear him on ESPN coverage of the PGA with featured groups. And I'm really looking forward to it, Richard. So being out there on Monday, what was the feeling you got about not only the site, but just the geographic location, being in the Northeast, as you mentioned, because they're going to be in sleeves with the forecast on Thursday and Friday, especially the morning guys. It's going to feel more Ryder Cup and more Open Championship than it felt a month ago at Augusta National.
There's no question about that. I looked at the forecast for tomorrow morning for, I think our group goes off at 7:34 Central Time. I'm sorry, 7:34 Eastern, 6:34 Central Time. That stupid Eastern time zone gets me all the time. Do they not know that we live in God's time zone and everybody else
does? Well, Lance Barrow, the great CBS producer, used to call it the same time zone for the Central.
Well, he was on to something. So 7:34 Eastern, 54 degrees with a 10-mile-an-hour wind out of the north-northwest.
Yeah.
That is sweater weather.
That's Scotland.
Without a doubt. It looks like it's going to get better as the weekend goes along. You know, interestingly, it's kind of what the guys have practiced in. It rained a little, and there was kind of a front that blew through on Sunday night. Monday was chilly. Upper 50s, low 60s with a pretty steady wind. You wanted a sleeve on. It warmed up a little bit for the last couple of days, but there's another front coming through tonight. It looks like, I don't know if it started raining there now or not, but it looked like 5 or 6 o'clock tonight. It was going to kind of light rain, have a light rain through most of the night, but then sometime 4 or 5 a.m. get out of there. So it's going to be a chilly start. I don't mind that. I think the golf course is in plenty good shape, and it can handle a little bit of water. I don't think it's if you watch the Truist when it was there in 2018, it was so incredibly soggy. And even in those conditions, from a scoring standpoint, it held up okay. But I don't think you're going to get anything close to that. There's not that much rain coming in, and they haven't gotten that much rain leading up to it. I think you're going to have a fair golf course that is going to absolutely challenge the best players in the world, and I think it's how you want it. It will reward good shots, and it absolutely will penalize the tough ones.
Richard, we haven't seen much of Rory McIlroy since his Masters win. Were you able to see him on Monday, and kind of what do you expect from him this weekend?
Did not see Rory on the course. I don't think he played a practice round on Monday. I think whether or not he was there or not, I can't answer that for you, but I did not see him. Was it 6 starts this year? He seems to be playing more of a Tiger Woods-like schedule that we got used to later in Tiger's kind of prime years, you know, really focused on the majors. I think you're going to see an energized Rory. I mean, if you just watch him in these news conferences or the interviews that you're doing, doesn't it just look like the weight of the world is off his shoulders? You know, he gets the career Grand Slam at Augusta. He gets all of the praise that goes along with that. And a free and easy swinging Rory McIlroy, there's no question. He is as dangerous as anybody out there. And, you know, I was thinking about this a little bit. And Brad, I don't know how you would fall on this. You know, what is the golden age of golf? You know, was it Tiger Woods at his peak and Phil Mickelson at his peak and some of the battles? I don't know that we got enough of those epic battles. Was it Jack and Arnie? Or are we in it right now with the number of young guys? And when I say young,
great question.
I'm talking 25 to 35 that are on the tour. And how many players do you look at right now and you say, man, if they're at the peak of their game, if they're playing absolutely at their best, is there anybody in the world that can beat them? And you put Rory in that category. You put Scotty in that category. Not too many years ago, we were putting Brooks Koepka in that category. Can Jon Rahm regain form? What does his future look like?
Xander Schauffele.
Fitzpatrick's playing great all of a sudden. Yep. Xander Schauffele, when he's hitting it well and making putts, he's a guy that looks like he can run away from the field. I mean, I think there are 10 or 12 guys that you can put in that category, and then you just wonder, does a guy like Jordan Spieth ever find it again? He's so close. Might this be the week that he finishes off the career Grand Slam? What a story that would be if in the first two majors of the year we had two players that completed the career Grand Slam.
Yeah, and then could have it next month with Scottie Scheffler getting his U.S. Open. Richard Cross, our guest. And Richard, here, I think it may be, but I don't know why, and sometimes I know I'm at the leader of the pack of this, why can't we enjoy now instead of having to constantly mythologize yesteryear?
Well, I mean, I think golf is one of those games in particular where the history of the game means so much. There have been changes. I'm with you. Like, I think you can absolutely live in the moment of professional golf as it exists today and be really, really happy. But I don't want to forget about what I watched Tiger Woods do for the better part of 20 years. Brett, you're a little older than I am. You got to watch much of the prime of Jack Nicklaus. Mm-hmm. And obviously, 86 is what so many people go to at Augusta, but never mind 86. Rewind 15 years in front of that and look at what he was doing in 70, 71, 72. And you still had Arnold Palmer in his prime and Gary Player, who was maybe a little bit older. But then you had Lee Trevino and Ray Floyd. The truth of the matter is, each generation that we've had a lot of really, really good golfers. And, you know, when they were playing at their best, there were a bunch that had an argument for, you know, being the best and, you know, can beat anybody on any given day. Now, obviously, there are a couple of outliers in Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods, but do we get to somebody like that again? I don't know. It feels like once in a multi-generation talent when you're talking about those guys, but we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. And we always seem to have a shooting star. It blows in and blows out like Johnny Miller.
Hmm. Who is that guy right now?
Who is that guy?
I mean, I don't think anybody wants it to be Jordan Spieth, but with the way that he burst onto the scene, what?
I think he had enough sustainability. Is it Justin Thomas? Is it over for him?
Could be.
He's played better as of late.
And those shooting star years for Johnny Miller, it looked like he was going to obliterate everybody, and then it was – over about as fast as it came upon us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It really was. Well, it's going to be fun this weekend at the PGA
Great week
Championship.
Ahead for you.
Yes, it is. Richard, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Boys, always appreciate the time. SEC football will be here before we know it.
Yes, we will.
We need you on the roundtable panel.
We'll figure it out. I look forward to it.
Thanks, you got Richard. It, man. Thank you, Richard.
Guys.
Richard Cross joining us to talk all things PGA Championship. He'll be on the coverage for ESPN over the next couple of days and giving us a little insight about the course and what to expect over these next 4 days. We'll make our golf picks a little bit later in that 4 o'clock hour when John Gowen from Timber Trust joins us. But we need to get to a break, and when we return, we got to talk some Major League Baseball.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
We already have a couple finals today. The Orioles with a 7-0 win over the Yankees. A one-hitter for the Orioles as the Yankees only muster one hit. Kyle Bradish was phenomenal for the Orioles in that start. Six innings, he gave up the lone hit, seven strikeouts, did walk three batters. They went to three relief pitchers after that. None of those guys giving up a hit. The other final, the Guardians, a 4-2 winner over the Angels.
First place, Cleveland.
That's right. Yeah, Cleveland playing really well right now, 24-21 on the season, so they have looked good so far. But only two-day games today. We'll get a lot more baseball later tonight. Next game not starting until 5:40.
I know y'all are thinking, Richard telling that story about Scotty hitting one into the deep rough and having to try to gouge it out with a three wood is scaring me off him.
No, it's not.
I don't want y'all to be in fear of that. No. We talked yesterday, and we mostly joke about it. But if the season ended today, you know who would be in the playoffs in the American League? Connor Dacus, yeah. Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, I was just
we would have
saying.
North Siders and South Siders
That's
in.
Right. Yeah, no, the White Sox have been a fun team to watch this year.
He said they would
year.
Be.
Yeah, well, you know, he's addicted to watching the minor league system, so he knew all the guys when they were hitting the scene. But, yeah, they've been fun. A win last night against a Royals team that has really struggled to get anything going this season. They're 19-23. On the season. So, yeah, they've been a fun team to watch. And, you know, I don't think it's going to hold the rest of the way, but it has been fun. Munetaki has been awesome so far this season for the White Sox. And so, yeah, I mean, they're a fun story. I don't think it's going to hold, but I think progress being made, improvement being made for the White Sox. And Munetaka Murakami now up to 15 home runs on the season. So he has been awesome for the White Sox.
Remember opening day, and we chuckled about it and said it's going to go decidedly down when his stat line for Paul Skenes, his ERA was 67.50. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, it's not that anymore. Mm-mm. It's under two.
Yeah, 1.98 for the season, 1.97 for his career. Just remarkable what he has done. He has a 1.09 ERA since that first game of the season. So, I mean, yeah. He has been lights out, was lights out last night, was huge for the Pirates, and kind of what has been the story for Paul Skenes is he just doesn't get much run support. The Pirates won that game last night 3-1, so they really needed everything that Paul Skenes gave them. Took that no-hitter into the seventh inning before Mickey Moniak was able to snap that no-hit bid. But, yeah, I mean, Paul Skenes, that was very much a fluke in the first game of the season. He has been lights out since then.
And Dodgers and Yankees, keep your grubby paws off of him. Yeah. I want him to stay in Pittsburgh for 15 years.
I hope so. I really do. And you know, maybe some of these young pieces that they're bringing up, maybe they can go out there and bring some more guys in through trades.
Four over 500 Buccos are.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this division. They've played really well, and this entire division has played really well to start the season. But I think it's going to be tough for them to keep Skenes around.
But they got a pretty good deal already with him, don't they?
No, they definitely do. I mean, he is one of the best pitchers in baseball. I mean, you can't ask for more.
But contractually, they got years.
Yeah, they do. I don't know exactly what his deal is.
We know that can be thrown out in
a
second. Did you – well, I don't want to go there too often. Did you see that both sides met yesterday?
Yeah, I did. You know.
And it was very perfunctory.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of the start, you know, performative stuff. I mean, it didn't really seem like much.
It was really no offers, was it?
No. It was just presentations yesterday, yeah. So nothing crazy.
Hi, my name is.
Exactly. So, yeah, it looks like Paul Skenes goes to arbitration after this season. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens.
But they control him.
For 3 years. So it's arbitration 1, 2, and 3. And then the next offseason would be a unrestricted free agent. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, you know, you've seen what's happening with Trick Skubal and his arbitration deal. And that, you know, got a little ugly and the kind of thought out there of maybe they decide to move him. So, yeah, you know, we could maybe see that exact same thing happen with Paul Skenes.
Cardinals win 6-4 last night against, I think, a good homeless A's.
Yeah, that was good win for them last night. You got another home run for J.J. Weatherholt, up to 8 on the season. I thought a fun night for the Cardinals last night against the Athletics. We'll see if that can continue. Matthew Liberatore on the mound tonight for them, and maybe they can get something rolling over there on the West Coast.
For Weatherholt, hitting around 240-ish, I'd like to see by the end of the year around 260,
sure.
265.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, you want to see that growth, you want to see that improvement, you want to see him more comfortable at the plate in the big leagues, but, you know, he's been awesome to start the season.
Can do it all defensively.
Mm-hmm. No, he definitely can. I mean, he has been a surprise.
Runs well.
How quick it started for him, how quick it is connected for him at the major league level. So we'll see if that can continue and if they can maybe do something fun over there on the West Coast, because it has been a fun series. Kyle Raleigh snapped his hitless streak last night.
Yeah, I see what he did to do it, and whatever
right.
It takes.
I guess so. Thankfully,
I don't know if I've ever showered fully clothed.
No.
It's kind of the opposite of the whole purpose.
That's right.
But
yeah, but hey,
he did, and it worked.
Sure, I guess. I guess if you need something to happen, you know, you got to get creative.
Baseball players,
yeah, they're very creative with some of the things they do. But back to back wins for the Mariners over the Houston Astros. We'll see if they can get it done again tonight. We'll see what Cal Raleigh can do tonight after that 0-for-38. He was 2-for-4 last night, so maybe that unlocks something for him.
And look out for Greg Gaston's Phillies. Not only the bleeding stop, but hope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're alive and kicking.
Yeah, they've played well, and you know you see that every now and then when you mm-hmm. make the early change with a manager, and it kind of gives
old shake
that
it up move.
Sure, you know, gives that team a spark. 7-3 in their last 10, so they're playing really well, and you know, maybe that can continue, and maybe they can make a run for one of those playoff spots. But we'll see what happens tonight. Again, only 2 day games today around Major League Baseball. The next game that will get started tonight, 5:40 Nationals and Reds, Rockies and Pirates, both getting started around that time. But let's go ahead and wrap up this first hour, get to a break. When we return, we're talking more golf, more about the PGA Championship. We'll also make our picks for the weekend. John Goen from Timber Trust, he joins us next.